Praise the Lord. Jesus is Lord. Thank you for joining me today. This is Dr. Ruth. We are continuing here with my expository, which is a verse-by-verse study out of the Gospel of Luke, the ministry of Jesus Christ. If today is your first time joining me, welcome and thank you. Hopefully you can listen to the entire session and listen to previous sessions right here. And we are right in the middle of the Gospel of Luke. A lot has been covered. So please make sure you listen to the previous sessions and even to the teachings out of the Gospels of Mark and Matthew, so you can gain a much deeper revelation about the ministry of Jesus Christ, because boy, this will transform your life. So today we are going to pick it up here. It is a very lengthy chapter. In the previous session, we ended in verse 12, and the Lord Jesus had warned against hypocrisy and offered encouragement not to be afraid of man, but instead to trust God. Please listen to that previous session. So today, the Lord Jesus will continue here with a phenomenal teaching. And all his teachings are awesome. But he today will talk about money. So the gist of these upcoming verses here in Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 13, is about covetousness, about greed. And the Lord Jesus will talk about the parable of the rich fool. Okay, wow. So let's just get going here. And before we even continue, I want to say that I really recommend that you get a book I wrote that has blessed thousands of people and I know will bless you, to help you how to live in a practical way in this relationship with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. This book is called Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? It's a book that talks about, or it is a book that will help you grow and mature as a believer. Phenomenal book. Again, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus? How to Excel in Your Identity in Christ. This book has its own website. It is areyoumovingforward.com. It is a 350 or so page book. So we are asking for $25 for this book plus shipping and handling. It is $33, so we can ship this to you right away. Again, we are asking for a donation of $33, including shipping and handling, so we can ship this to you if you live in the continental USA. If you live overseas, please get this book from Amazon. And I really recommend you visit this book's website, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus, to read some of the testimonials. This book will really help you grow into a vibrant relationship with God. And also visit our website to get the book as well. That address is drruthtanyi.org/donate. If you live in the continental USA, we can accept donation, or we do accept donations through the Cash App. The address is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. And you can also use your telephone through Zelle. That number is 909-501-9031. And we will attach all this in the description box. Please, we thank you in advance for donating $33 into this ministry, which we will put right back into paying for studio time to produce these programs to reach more people. Keep in mind, whatever you get from this ministry comes to us as a donation. Get this book as a gift for someone, or just bless us with a donation as you are being blessed by these teachings. We thank you in advance for doing so. Okay, so please let us get into this session today, and I recommend you listen to the entire thing because we are going to be blessed here. So I begin here, Luke chapter 12. We are in verse 13. So someone in the crowd, now, as I said, the Lord Jesus just came from teaching the multitudes, crowds of people. In the previous session, we talked about this. So we are continuing here. So someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Do you see something wrong with this question? It is so obvious, which is why the Lord Jesus would use this question as a teaching point for his disciples there, the crowds there, and to us. What is the issue with this question? This man who wanted Jesus to tell his brother to divide the inheritance with him was actually asking for Jesus, God, to side with him. Mm-hmm. He came to Jesus. He had already made a decision. He said, Lord, just do this in favor of me and tell my brother to split the inheritance because I don't want to do it. So you, because you have authority, you do it. So this man was delegating his responsibility to Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, to speak with and in his authority to his brother to split the inheritance. Oh boy, there's a lesson here. A lot of times we try to delegate our responsibility to God, but God is not gonna accept that. Let's find out what the Lord Jesus would say here. So this man had asked Jesus to tell his brother to divide the inheritance with him. We are now in verse 14. Jesus replied, man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? Exactly. The Lord Jesus is like, I am not your judge. I'm not going to speak on your behalf. Who appointed me the judge? I like this. The Lord Jesus is like, you take responsibility of your own action. Now, moving on here, let's see how this continues. We are now in verse 15. Then he said to them, this is the Lord Jesus, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. Exactly. So the Lord Jesus is going to use this man's question to teach us about greed. Already, life is not about possessions. Isn't that so true? You know what? Naked you came, naked you're going to exit. Life is not about holding possessions. It's not about collecting and building wealth. Oh my God, life is about a relationship with God first. So let us continue here. We are now in verse 16. The Lord Jesus continued, and he told them this parable. Now, let me pause here before we continue with this parable that he would use to explain. If you are not aware, what really is a parable? A parable is either a simple story or an illustration used to relay or convey a powerful moral or spiritual lesson. The Lord Jesus, it had been prophesied in the Old Testament that he would speak in parables. So he is about to teach on a parable here that has powerful spiritual and moral lesson for the listeners then and for us today. So let us listen to this parable here. Again, in context, let me just repeat verse 16. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. Verse 17. He thought to himself, already we are learning something here. This rich man was very blessed. His ground yielded an abundance of fruit. But now he is thinking to himself, already we are seeing a picture here. This man is not even considering the source of his wealth, God. This man is not even considering anybody else. He is thinking about himself. And before I proceed here, I want to just tell you, we are going to run into the absolute truth, how selfish this man was. He would use I at least 6 times. Let's continue. So we are now in verse 17. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Already I. He is so selfish, so self-centered, so conceited, so greedy. He's only thinking about himself. Do you know people like that today? Who are so wealthy, it's only about them. We continue now with the story or the parable. Let me just repeat that last the last few words there in context. What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Verse 18. Then he said, this is what I will do. Another I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. Again, we see how this man is so wealthy. He is only thinking about himself. He is thinking to himself, okay, what do I do with all this excess? How do I hold this? How do I hide this for me, myself, and I? He already came up with a way that he is going to tear down his barns and build more to store his possession. This was a very sick man. We go to verse 19. And I will say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. So we see a man who was so abundantly blessed, so self-conscious, self-centered, and greedy. We see the spirit of covetousness already all over this I. He is like, okay, I have all this wealth. I'm going to build more barns and store up my wealth. And then I'm going to relax and just eat and drink and take life easy. Why? Because this man's God was his money. This man's God was his possession. He was so addicted to his possession that that was where he found comfort. He was blind. This is sad. Do you know people like this today? That they are so super wealthy that they are consumed by their wealth. Their thoughts are just consumed by how much can I get? How can I hide it? How can I be secure in it? This is a pitiful person. Mm-hmm. Money, possessions cannot bring you true joy and peace. Joy is a person, Jesus Christ. True peace that the Lord Jesus says he offers to us, his followers, can only come through a vibrant relationship with God. People can be happy momentarily because happiness just means it is dependent on what is happening to you at the moment. Happiness is temporary. Happiness is fleeting. We want joy, which is constant, which is eternal, which is a person, Jesus Christ. So this man was trying to seek happiness through his possession. But even at that, because it was a spirit of mammon, a spirit of lust, a spirit of money, he could not find true contentment. So he figured, the more I hide, the more I gather and hide, the more I am safe. Money was his safety. It is a shame. This is a demonic spirit that had really taken over this man's soul. And the Lord Jesus is speaking to you today. Unfortunately, in the 21st century, people have this notion of, it's mine, I work hard for it, I'm going to use it the way I want. That is a bad way of approaching money. Because it is God who gave you, or it is God who gives the ability for us to generate wealth. Are you getting this? Already, we are learning here that that view of money that this man had was ungodly. That view of money that this man had, hiding money, was of the devil. And we are going to find out the consequences that happen as a result of that. Verse 20, but God said to him, you fool. You know what? Who is a fool? A fool is anyone who is depending on their own wisdom. Biblically, that is really what a fool is. A fool is not a pathological disease. It's not somebody who is dumb and deaf. A fool is somebody who is relying on their own understanding and keeping God out of every equation, which is why the Bible says a fool says in his or her heart, there is no God, because you are really a fool, because there's truly a God. So now the Lord God had listened to this man, listened to how he was planning, And God said, you fool, this very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? So true. This man in this story was such a fool that he didn't even consider that there is a God who is sovereign. He didn't consider that there is a God who was the one who gave him the ability to generate the wealth. You see, Jesus teaches us in the Beatitudes, and you can go back and listen to this in the Gospel of Matthew. This is coming to heart, that God allows his sunlight or his blessings to rest upon the wicked and the righteous. Because God is good. God is love. So God allows the light, the sun to rest upon everybody. But the difference is that those of us who have confessed faith in Jesus Christ, we are in a covenant relationship with God through Christ. We have an agreement with God through Christ that we can effortlessly receive God's blessings as we renew our minds. So we are well positioned to receive all of it, because everything that belongs to Jesus Christ belongs to us. We are joined as with Christ. But the unbeliever has limited access to God's blessings, okay? Because they are not in that relationship with God. But nonetheless, they still receive the blessings of God's beautiful weather. They still receive the blessings of God's beautiful landscape. And Jesus Christ died on that cross for the sins of the entire world. And forgiveness is available. All of the blessings are also available to them, but they have to receive it by faith. Where am I going with this? This man in this story, we are not told if he was a believer or not, but the bottom line is that even if he was not a believer, even if he was not a Jew, even if he was not in a covenant relationship with God at that time, because the Jews were in a relationship with God. Even if this man was not in a relationship, it was still God who enabled him to get up in the morning. It was still God who allowed the rain to fall on his land, that he produced the crops. It was still God that enabled him to function and to generate this wealth. But he was such a fool, he totally ignored God. Mm-hmm. He totally did not give God the credit. He was just planning how he was going to store it and use it for himself. Again, that spirit of mammon, the love of money is the root of all evil. And may I add, the love of possession. Covetousness just means it is a deep, lustful desire towards things, towards money, towards other people's possession. It is a deep, ungodly, lustful desire that can only be broken by the power of the Holy Spirit. So this man did not call upon God. He was covetous. He was greedy. So the Lord God was going to teach him a lesson, and this is a lesson for all of us. So go back and repeat verse 20 there. But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" Verse 21. "This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God." Exactly what I just spent time explaining. That is exactly how it will be for those who have this spirit of mammon, love of money, who ignore God, fools. They will die and leave all the possessions here. Who will inherit it? What are the lessons here? This is so huge. Covetousness is a sin that we must repent and ask God, the Holy Spirit, to enable us to break that and stop hoarding, stop having lustful desires towards possessions, because a man's life does not consist of possessions. Number two, we cannot ignore God, who gives us the ability to generate wealth. Number three, money is a tool to be used to advance God's kingdom, not to be hidden, not to use selfishly. The Bible teaches so clearly out of the book of Proverbs 10:22 that the blessings of God brings no toil. When God truthfully blesses you, it brings no turmoil, it brings no heartache. And as a child of God, what are the key principles and application here? How can we fix this issue? We need to change our view of wealth. How do we view possessions? How do we view money? It has to be in a godly manner. Deuteronomy 8:18. It is God who gives us the ability to generate wealth, so we should not forget God. We have to acknowledge that all wealth, all possession is from God. We acknowledge Him, we give Him credit. Number two, we have to use money and possessions to support God's work. This is the primary reason why God will bless us with material possession or the ability to generate wealth so that we can use that towards his kingdom to advance the kingdom of God, because it costs a lot of money to advance the gospel. The gospel message of Jesus Christ itself is free, but to preach that message, to advance that message, to write books about that message, to pay for studio time, like I am doing right here, to pay for television time, cost money. So when God blesses us with financial wealth, it is for the primary purpose to, number one, give back into his work so that we can advance the kingdom of God. And number three, God has to trust us in order for us to be blessed financially. What do I mean? If you are struggling with the love of money, or if you are struggling with the spirit of mammon, which really is the love of money, or you have a tendency to want to hide money and use it for your selfish indulgences, God will not bless you with excess, because God knows that when he blesses you with excess, you will use it unwisely. So the people that God will allow them to have great wealth are people that God can trust them with that money, that they will use that money in a godly manner to advance God's kingdom and to bless others, to take care of the needy, and to meet the needs of people that God will align in their paths. Are you getting this? So when you have excess of money, like I have a girlfriend who has a gift of giving. I know her because I have seen how God can trust her with so much money. She is so generous. The moment she gets money come to her, you know what she does? The first thing she would do is to figure out how that money can leave her and get back into the kingdom of God. And I was telling her, I said, you know what? You have a gift of giving. Do you know that? She didn't even realize that, but I saw that in her life. Because the moment she gets money and she gets blessed, $10,000, $20,000, people really bless her. Right away, she turns around and gives it right back into God's work. She keeps some. God wants us to have enough money to care for our basic needs, to care for our family. God wants us to enjoy. But it has to be in a godly perspective where we give it back into God's work, and then we also care for our needs. So we have to be careful how we use money. All this notion of, well, God wants me to be poor, that is a lie. God wants you to be rich if he can trust you with wealth so you can bless others, okay? And the next thing I want to say here is that the Bible also teaches so clearly that we should not kill ourselves, i.e. don't work too hard trying to generate wealth, because you could hurt yourself. In fact, let me read that to you. Proverbs 23, verses 4 through 5 teaches, do not wear yourself out to get rich. Do not trust your own cleverness. Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone. For they will surely sprout wings and fly off to the sky like an eagle. The principle here is that, listen, everything in moderation. Don't have such an ungodly desire to generate wealth to the point where you wear yourself out and become sick. Don't we see this a lot today? People work 100 hours a week just to generate wealth, and then they end up in a hospital bed. They can't even enjoy it. Or we have people who work 100 hours a week to buy the biggest homes and cars. They can't even enjoy it because they have to work more to maintain it. You know what that leads to? Heart attacks, divorces, just estranged relationships with the children, because they won't even have time to even spend time with the family, enjoy it. Most importantly, they won't even have time to fellowship with God. That is exactly what Proverbs 23 verses 4 through 5 is teaching. Godly boundaries, work enough, be content with what God has blessed you with, and don't look at money as a lasting thing. Your life, your soul is more important. And as the Lord blesses you with money, always remember to give God the credit and bless the work of God. I hope you receive this. I'm going to end this session here. We have discussed a lot about money. Friend, I want to really encourage you as we're talking about giving. I want to encourage you to visit the book's website I talked about, Are You Moving Forward.com, and get this book, Are You Moving Forward with Jesus, for a donation of $33. It will be a love gift donation to this ministry. And we will put the money right back into this Bible teaching podcast to advance God's work. And if you are not interested in the book, just get it to bless us and give it to someone as a gift. And or you can send us a love gift donation, especially as I believe these Bible teachings are blessing you. Would you consider blessing us? It costs money to produce this podcast, as I just explained. I know that the Lord is speaking to your heart right now. Open your heart to bless us with a donation. Visit our safe and secure website, drruthtanyi.org/donate. We are also on Cash App. It is the $ Dr. Ruth Tanyi. And on Zelle telephone, you can send a donation if you live in the continental USA. That telephone number is 909-501-9031. And we are asking for a donation of $33 or more. So you can help us to pay for studio time to proclaim the gospel message of Jesus Christ and reach more people. And God will bless you back. Whatever you give into God's kingdom to advance his work, you will become partakers of advancing the gospel, and God in his faithfulness will bless you back abundantly. So you don't need to be afraid of giving. Giving is God's will into his work. This ministry is a good soil. This Bible teaching is transforming lives. So when you give into this Bible teaching podcast, you are giving into a good soil, and you will reap abundance of harvest. I hope you can do that to bless us, and really a blessing right back to you. And I really hope you've been blessed by today's teaching. Please share these teachings with friends and family, and just leave us a comment and like it. Okay, so this will bring us to the end of this session. We're gonna pick this thing up here next time in Luke chapter 12 verse 22. That will be the next session. Hopefully you can join me. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for these priceless teachings about trusting you with our possessions and our wealth. Thank you, God. I thank you for all the listeners today. I thank you that their hearts have been open to receive this word, and you continue to show them more revelations from today's lessons. God, the Holy Spirit, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for just revealing your truths to us. We thank you for working in our hearts to just love you more than we can ever love money or possessions. Help us to be free to give lovingly into your work, to become true partakers of advancing the gospel message of Jesus Christ, because that is your will for all of us. I thank you, God, for answering this prayer. And I have prayed in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And everybody says, Amen. Listen to the announcer who will tell you more about how you can be a part of this ministry. Thank you. God loves you.
As you have been blessed, can you bless us back with a financial donation, so we can produce more teachings and bless others in return? This program is solely sponsored by the financial donations from friends and listeners like you. We need your financial support in order to reach more people with Dr. Ruth's simple but profound life-changing messages. To make a one-time donation, visit our website, drruthtanyi.org. That's drruthtanyi.org. Look for the donation button and donate right there. It is a very secure, simple, and easy process. Or, for more of an impact, would you prayerfully consider becoming a Christ-centered monthly partner with us? While on our website, you will find all of the information about becoming a Christ-centered partner. As a monthly partner, your regular prayers and financial support will enable us to produce more Bible teachings in order to reach more people and transform their lives with God's Word. For those of you who prefer regular mail, you can send your donation to us. Here's the address: Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries, P.O. Box 1806, Loma Linda, California, 92354. You can also email us with your questions about becoming a partner. Here's the email address, info@drruthtanyi.org. That's info@drruthtanyi.org. Or you can always call us at 909-383-7978. Dr. Ruth Tanyi Ministries is a federal government-approved 501c corporation, which means that all your donations are 100% tax-deductible as allowed by the law. We thank you in advance for your kind donation and prayers. We pray for God's love and presence to anchor your soul today in Christ Jesus. I am Chris Oram. Stay blessed, and goodbye for now.